There's a storm out on the ocean, and it's coming your way. And if your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you're surely going astray. And so God realizes that there are storms out there on the horizon of our life every day. And God whispers in our ear, you better go somewhere and get quiet.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, A Quiet Time That Makes It Worth Being Quiet, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of A Quiet Time That Makes It Worth Being Quiet, Part 2.
Clean with God. And when we come clean, And he purifies us, it may be painful. It may cause us to react a certain way. It may move in our hearts a certain way and cause us to think a certain way about something that we're doing, about a sin in our life, about something that's going on that's not pleasing to God, and it causes pain in our heart. Where'd he put this coal? On his mouth, on his lips. Two things about that. That's significant. The first thing that's significant, that the lips are one of the most sensitive places on the whole body. There are other places where the sensor points are high, but the lips are one of the most sensitive places on the body. And so what is that saying? He probably felt that to an extreme degree, that when the coal touched his mouth, that the burning that took place, that this cleansing that was going on in his life was painful. And you know the second thing that we notice? Where did it touch? His mouth, his lips. And I'd like to propose this. I might be wrong, but I'd like to propose this. What instrument of our body do we create the most sin with? The most sensitive place and the most sinful place. And so the prophet of God goes through this pain of cleansing. And then sometimes, you know, we have to come to this conclusion. Lord, I ran my mouth yesterday and I should have just kept quiet. And it's painful. It's painful. Lord, I said something that wounded somebody else, and it's painful. And it hurts. And so this tongue, this coal touches and it produces pain. But look at the end result. The end result is purification. The end result is purification. Look what he says in verse 7. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. When you come into the presence of God, do you walk away with a sense of having been cleansed? Do you walk away with a sense of having your burden lifted? You know, I've shared my testimony before about how when I went to church on a Sunday night and the preacher preached a message and how that when we came in the church, it was storming. I mean, it was pouring down, raining. And the minister preached and gave the invitation. And I came forward that night and gave my life to Christ. And I'll never forget that when I got up and went outside, it seemed like my whole world was light. It was raining. It was coming down. But it seemed like my whole world was light. And it wasn't until years later that I figured out what that was all about. For 20-some years, I had carried around this burden of sin. And it was weighing me down. And it was grieving my spirit. Even though I had fun, even though I was able to be functional in life, that I still had that sin nature. And that night, God lifted that burden off of me, and my whole world got lighter. Do you sense that? When you come to God in your quiet time, do you sense that your burden has been made lighter? Do you sense that your world has, even though you might, as the heavenly hand stood up here today and held up all those signs, right? You might be going through something that they held up, but still your world is lighter. You know, I've watched movies of women who have been raped and how that after they're raped, one of the things that they want to do is they just want to go and take a shower. They just want to wash off. They think they can wash off what just happened to them, or wash away the defilement of what just happened to them. And they will wash and wash and scrub, and it's never enough. Until they go and either work through that thing themselves, or sit down with a counselor and work through it, and then eventually what can happen? They can walk away from that, and they begin to feel that that defilement is gone. They might always have the memory of that, but there's a sense of that defilement has been taken away. Thank God that when we come to Him during this time of purification, that we feel a sense of unworthiness, that we feel a sense of defilement, and we don't have to go in the shower and try to scrub it away. But all we got to do is fall on our face before God and say, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And just like a woman who has been delivered from that hideous act that happened to her, that we can walk away knowing that God has cleansed us from the filth of our lives. If this is not happening in your quiet time, then you don't have a quiet time that's worth being quiet for. You know, if we just are getting up and running away with the same old sin and walking away with doing the same old things and not having a sense of being forgiven, not having a sense of being purged, not having being a sense of being cleansed, then what is your quiet time worth? Like I said in my prayer, this can be an experience that we have every day. We might not see the seraphim flying around. We might not see the posts of the temple shaking. We might not see the room filled with smoke. But like Isaiah, we can walk away with a sense of cleansing in our quiet time. Saints, I beg you, I implore you, I urge you, have a quiet time. And in your quiet time, don't focus on any. Don't focus on the person that did you wrong. Don't focus on this person. Just focus on you. And your purification and how that I can clean my life so that I can go forth and I can represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lo, this coal hath touched your lips. Is the coal touching your lips every day? Is the coal touching your lips during your quiet time? Next, we see that it's not only a time of spiritual purification, but Isaiah lets us know that it's a time of spiritual penetration, and that is hearing the voice of God. Every day I need to hear something from God. Every day I need to hear God's instructions, God's plans for my life for that day. During our time with God, His words should infiltrate our spirit. It should speak to our hearts. Look what He says here in verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord. We can stop right there. We don't need to go any further. I heard the voice of, man, I'm talking about, does somebody hear me? Put that first slide back up there, Santino. Put that first slide back up there. I'm talking about having a quiet time. There you go. That's worth being quiet for. A quiet time that will cause you to stop. Now, again, I don't know what he's thinking about. But he stopped. His whole world stopped. And he's focused on something. And that if our whole world will stop and we just get quiet before God, God will speak to our hearts. Every time he will speak to our heart. If God is not speaking to you every day that you, and again, if you're not having a time, if you're not spending time with God every day, see now let me say this. That God can speak in one of two ways, all right? Or he can shout. He can shout. How does God, somebody heard me back there. How does God whisper? He whispers in our quiet time. How does he shout? That when you are busy and you are running, that he got to holler at you. And sometimes he'll holler by letting something bad happen to you. That's God shouting. Now, I don't know about you. I would rather have him whisper Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I want to hear it because I've come aside to hear it, not because I'm busy running and he got to shout at me. And so when I come to him, I can hear his voice. And here's a series of things that I would say that you should consider as you deal with your quiet time. If you'll go to that slide. Here's some things that you might want to consider during your quiet time. What has God revealed to me about myself? Or I mean about himself, about Christ or the Holy Spirit? What has God revealed to me about sin in my life? What has God revealed to me that I should do about a particular situation? What has God revealed to me about my service for him? What has God revealed to me in reference to my family and my friends? That if God is speaking, I need to be listening and I need to hear what he has to say. You know that song that of the old hymn of the faith, Fanny Crosby sings it, Draw Me Near, and the opening line says, I am thine, O Lord. Somebody help me. Y'all know it. Y'all know it. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy word. I've heard thy voice. Are you hearing the voice of God every day? Young people ask me, Pastor Glaze, you get up there and you talk about hearing God's voice. How can you hear God? How can you hear his voice? Getting quiet. When you get quiet. And then what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit just impresses things on your heart. The Holy Spirit impresses things in your spirit. He lays things in your mind, in your thinking. And that's why, see, the Bible says that there are many voices in the world. There's a voice of your friends. There's the voice of Wall Street speaking to you every day. You know, Wall Street speaks to you every day. And you know what Wall Street's message is? Don't be content. Wall Street is trying to make you dissatisfied. Why? So that you'll buy their product. And so if we watch TV all day long, what's Wall Street is speaking to us, right? And again, their message is dissatisfaction. God's voice. And this is important, what I'm getting ready to tell you now. God's voice, you need to be centered around prayer and his word. You can't be sitting there doing some secular activity and hear the voice of God unless he's going to shout at you. But it's in the quietness, and you know, notice when God came to Elijah, he wasn't in the fire, and you know, he wasn't in the storm, but he was in what? The still, small voice. And that's how God wants to speak to us, in that still, small voice of the quiet time, where we are asking him these questions, and God is laying on our hearts what he wants us to know. I remember, and I know y'all get tired of hearing some of my testimony, but I got to tell it. What's that song say? It's my testimony. Can't nobody tell it like me, right? So I'm going to tell my testimony. I was coaching football at Liberty University, going to Atlanta, Georgia, to recruit some football players. On my way, driving down there, the Lord said, turn off the radio. I just felt in my spirit, again, it was no audible voice, I just felt in my spirit, the Lord said, get quiet. And I got quiet and began this dialogue with God. And on the way down there, God told me three things. He told me that he wanted me to get a doctorate degree. He told me that he wanted me to teach at a university. And he told me he wanted me to pastor a church. I didn't know what order, I didn't know how it was going to come, but those three things I clearly heard from the Lord because I got quiet. And when I got quiet, he spoke to me. And I was able to finish my doctor's degree. I not only taught at Liberty University, Old Testament survey, but now I teach over at the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. And God called me here in 1990 to pastor a church. See, and that all came, that was all birthed out of a quiet time. Had I kept the radio on and drove down to Atlanta, boogieing down the road, I might have missed the word of God that he had for me. I thank God because that was a landmark point in my life. That was a time when God was taking me in a completely different direction, and I heard from him clearly. And the only way I heard is because I got quiet. And so it's a time of spiritual penetration. It's a time when we hear the voice of God. And then finally, it's a time of spiritual proclamation, and that is where we respond to the voice of God. We respond to the voice of God. Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. See, when you hear the voice of God, there comes a time when you have to respond to the voice of God. God was not asking Isaiah the questions, whom shall I send or who will go for us, because he didn't know who was going to go. God was not confused. He was not asking these questions because he was trying to figure this situation out. But he realized that the prophet had just had a revelation, that the prophet had just been cleansed, and he knew that the prophet was able to go. And I'm here to tell you today that if in your quiet time you have a revelation of God, and again, it don't have to be this grandiose thing that Isaiah had, but you have a revelation of God and you experience the cleansing in your time, that God is going to have an assignment for you that day. It might be speaking to a coworker. It might be calling a neighbor and saying, give them a word of encouragement. It might be writing a note to somebody. It might be a phone call. It might be an email. It might be a text. But I guarantee you that God is speaking to you every day and saying, in the life of this person, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And you ought to be ready to say, here am I, send me. I love Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 34. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. My favorite verse is Psalm 1, 1 through 3. But I love this one right here. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 34. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 34. It says, blessed is the man who heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. This passage is actually a military term, or has military implications. And the idea here is that there are these generals who are behind closed doors, and they are strategically mapping out the battle plan. The soldiers are out there on the field waiting for instructions from the general. And you have one person that's standing at the door, waiting for the door to open and for the generals to give the marching orders to this man to run and take it to the troops in the field. He says here, look, blessed is the man who hears me and sits at the door of heaven, sits at the gates of God, has a quiet time, waiting what? Waiting for the answer, waiting to hear my instructions, waiting to hear what I'm supposed to do, so that when I get the instructions, when I get the order, I can do what? I can run with it. I can run with it. And every day, you ought to be running with some instructions from God. I guarantee if you ask the average person, what did God tell you today? Nothing. Well, it's either two reasons, because he didn't tell you anything. Number one, because you weren't listening. Or number two, you didn't spend time with him. If you spend time with God and listen, you will have your instructions. You will have your marching orders. The prophet Isaiah's life was changed as a result of this encounter with God. His life was changed. Your life can be changed. I put up a chart that talks about this idea of change. Change. What are some things that we can consider as we spend time with God, as we hear from God, that we ought to change? The C stands for commitment. It means that you ought to make a commitment to carry out what the Lord spoke to you about. That, you know, and that presupposes that you have spent time with him and you have heard from him. That you are to make a commitment. Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to carry it out. The H is for Holy Spirit. That you should ask the Holy Spirit throughout the day to convict you. Lord, let... You know what I think the worst thing is for God to speak to somebody and then they just go on about their business. That you ought to ask the Holy Spirit to convict you throughout the day, that I would remember what God told me this morning. Oftentimes I'll have my day planner right there during my devotion times. And what I'll do is whatever verse, whatever scripture, whatever thing God laid on my heart, I write it right there. On the other side are my things to do and my appointments, and on this side over here is what God told me to do. So every time I'm looking at, and when I open up my day planner, it opens up with both pages showing, and when I'm looking at what I have to do, when I'm looking at my appointment, my appointments on the other side all day long, I'm looking at what God told me to do. I'm looking what he told me to do. Ask the Holy Spirit to convict you. Accountability. You know the best way to remember what God told you is tell somebody else. Tell somebody, man, you know the Lord spoke to my heart this morning. You know what the Lord told me today? And see, then that way you are going to remember. It's going to be a lot easier for you to remember. And then you got somebody to hold you accountable. So take action as soon as possible and share with others the instructions that the Lord gave to you. N, notation. I've already talked about this. Make a note of what God said to you and place it somewhere where it can be seen throughout the day. Already talked about that. G is for guard. Set a guard around what the Lord put in your spirit. You remember over there in the, was it Matthew 13? When the seed was deposited and it had landed in the heart. What did the evil one do? Came and did what? Snatched. Took it right out of the heart. Now I know there's a lot of ways that we could go with that passage, and I know there's a lot of interpretations, but I know there's one interpretation, but there's many applications. Let me make an application. This might not be the right interpretation, but let me make an application. And the application is that when God drops the seed of his word in your heart, guess who's waiting right there to snatch it away? The evil one. You get up from your time with God and get into a dispute or controversy with somebody as soon as you walk out your door. Somebody will do something to you that will snatch that word out of your heart. Or you become so overwhelmed with the things of the day that you just forget what God told you. Snatched it. The evil one is waiting to snatch out of your heart whatever God spoke to you about. And so, guard that. Guard. And then the E is evaluate. At the end of the day, evaluate how you did, and then make the appropriate adjustments where necessary for the next day. At the end of the day, just sit back and reflect and say, how did I do with the word that God spoke to me this day? Did I carry it out? Did I struggle? Did the evil one snatch it? And then the next day when I come to the Lord, I'm going to think about, well, what happened the day before? What did I do good the day before? And what did I not do so good? And then I'm going to make some adjustments, so that I can value what God is speaking to me about in my quiet time. As I close, it's amazing how we remember things that our parents told us as we were growing up. And I can remember all kinds of sayings that my dad had. I mean, he had some unique sayings. And some of them, I never could make the correlation as to what he was trying to say. You know, he had some doozies too. I'm telling you, he had some doozies. But my mom had some too. And one of the things that my mom always used to say, and I'm sure that some of your mothers probably said this to you, is that whenever it started to thundering and lightning outside, she would always say, "You need to go somewhere and get quiet." she would always, every time it stormed, my mom, "You need to go somewhere and get quiet." And I just want to tell you, saints, that at the start of your day, there's a storm out on the ocean, and it's coming your way. And if your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you're surely going astray. And so God realizes that there are storms out there on the horizon of our life every day. And God whispers in our ear, "You better go somewhere and get quiet."
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, A Quiet Time That Makes It Worth Being Quiet, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Quiet Time That Makes It Worth Being Quiet. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Quiet Time That Makes It Worth Being Quiet, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.